We're going to look at the sealed book. Amen. Now that is a very serious topic and a very controversial topic too, particularly in the end time message circle. And it's good that you just have a picture of what it is and what it is not. Amen. And I was just looking at some of the programs on the television this week, and what came to my mind, amen, what came to my mind, every preacher you see preaching on the television, 90% of what they are teaching is faith to enjoy life on earth. Faith, the secret of prosperity. And then those who operate the power gifts, they are talking about deliverance and demons and curses and covenants. Amen. None of them is wrong. None of them is wrong. Amen. Because what they teach is Bible. But I'm telling you, the Bible is more than that. That's why I encourage you, please, find time and come for Bible study. And if you can't come, ask for the tape. There are things that are loaded in this scripture, the Bible, that pertain to salvation. And we all need to know them. It's important. The children of Israel, the Jews, we are so religious, busy, serving God. All, nothing but religion. Because whatever they were doing had no revelation behind it. Because if they had revelation, amen, of that book they were holding, they will have known that the Bible prophesied the coming of the Messiah. The Bible prophesied how he will come. But do you know, the very religious people, they were those that could not recognize the visitation of their day. Could not recognize that that same Bible they were holding was fulfilling at that very time. And the very Messiah the whole Jews have been waiting for stood before them. They rejected him. They crucified him. And that spirit of religion is still available even now. Up till now, that spirit of religion is still around. Amen. Apostle Paul looked at the Jews in Romans chapter 10. He saw that they have a zeal towards God, but it is not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody will say God has called him. And it's true, you can see the visibly there is an anointing of God upon that person. And all he thinks God has called him to do is to be going for deliverance, to be conducting deliverance from morning till night. Set up church. God has called me. And all they do is come here every day, stay here, conduct deliverance. And when they are tired, they go home. Where are you coming from? I'm a servant of God. I have gone to serve God. But that God that you are serving, do you know him? What do you know concerning that God? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I take it very seriously. In fact, I look at you suspiciously even. If you are anointed, you are gifted, and you don't care to know the Bible. I look at you suspiciously. Because one thing I know is that a true son of a father, a true son of a father, will want to know everything concerning his father. Concerning his father. You even want to know his birthday. You want to know his history. You want to know everything concerning him. You want to know his assets. You want to know his roots. I have seen where people left America tracing their roots. They know they're in America, but the course of investigation, they know that somewhere their forefathers were somewhere, and they know that they packed them from somewhere. They want to know where they were before. They trace and come. I know of a man they were showing on NTN News one time. I think it's a lady or so. I traveled from the US and came down. How many years ago, the father met the mother, and then somehow the relationship didn't work. But then by that time, the woman was pregnant. But then they had to, the marriage scattered, and somehow he found out that the woman forced the man out of America. So imagine, then he was still in the womb. Now he's grown up, he said he must meet his father. That's a true son. He wants to find out his root. How will you say the God of creation is your father? You don't want to know anything about him other than what he can give you, other than what you can benefit from him. That's the difference between the bride and the denomination. There's something about us. What we boast about is not anointing, it's not gift. There's no gift in this church that is not in other churches. Even higher. What we pride ourselves is the revelation of this Bible. No part of this Bible again is closed. I was telling people during the Bible study on Wednesday, I said two very old members of this church that have spent up to about 5 years in this church, I'm asking them. No, they came to ask me. One of them came to ask me, what is the why was Abel's sacrifice accepted and Cain's sacrifice rejected? And I looked at him. So I turned and looked at the second brother that was with me then. I said, you answer. Do you know it? He said, it's true. Cain. I got so angry, I refused to answer them. So what have you been doing in this church for 5 years? A simple revelation like that, you don't even know. Something we mention here regularly. You see? The problem with so many of us is we still don't understand the spirit of this fellowship here at this church. You don't know where you're coming from. A lot of you just come and you meet soup, they boil, potom, 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 potom. And you just enter and say, Tom, you say they jump there, they do potom, potom, potom. Anointing. It's wrong. Take time. Study. There's something in this scripture, in this Bible, that has to do with our eternal destination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true. Concerning salvation, brethren. Hallelujah. I have preached a message that I titled Divine Timetable. Get it if you are new here. Salvation is God's own business. Salvation is not your business. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. Immediately man fell, God began a program of restoring mankind back to what it was in the Garden of Eden, what he intended it to be. It's a program. And every program sheet has agenda. Item 1, item 2, item 3. Do you go to any function and then they give you program and you stay on only one item, why do you call it program then? God has a program for salvation. The program is not healing and deliverance. The program is not vision. The program is not evangelism. Who can even help God to win souls? There is a program from one stage to another stage to another stage. Don't just sit down and then be religious. Yes, I believe there is God. Yes, I believe there is a heaven. Yes, I hear say Jesus is coming back again. Yes, if he come, I will go with him. Okay, you believe, yes, he's coming back. When is he coming? Do you know when? How is he coming? Do you know how? If you don't know when or how are you sure then you will be part of it? When you don't know how, and you don't know when. Praise the Lord. It's important. That is what gives you the confidence that makes you say you are a bride member. Not bride assembly member. Bride as a global bride of Jesus Christ. So when it is time for the preaching of the word, let every other thing be suspended. There were two women in the house, Mary and Martha. Praise the Lord. One was busy. Immediately see Jesus. Busy. Busy. They serve. Busy. Busy. Working. Busy. Busy. I be church worker. You're only sitting down in the church. I be church worker. But you had the statement, the Lord Jesus. One sat down by the feet of Jesus Christ and was talking with Jesus, wanting to know more concerning this my wonderful man of Galilee. The other one was busy. The things this one know, that one where they walk, you know. That's how it is with us. When it is time for the preaching of the word, take it seriously, abandon everything. Tell that angel when they give you vision, say, angel, wait, I want to hear a word. And the angel will stand still till you finish. Praise God. I just pray that this church will be reoriented. Because already inter-message believers, they are saying that the reason why people are coming to this church is because of miracles, it's not because of the word. And I'm here to prove them wrong, because I know sitting down here there are people that love the word. If you're among them, can I see your hand up? Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. It's true, because I've had testimonies from so many people. I know of somebody who said it was a problem that brought him, but he couldn't go back to his church again because of the word. I know so many, that is their testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The story of redemption is hidden in scriptures here and here, that by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of revelation, is opening them up to the bride. We saw the story of Esther. To the ordinary man, the story of Esther is a sweet story of a poor girl that became a queen. And that useless Vashti. Useless woman, Vashti. That disobeyed her husband. And she was divorced. That's all. But brethren, that story is the story of redemption. Esther is a type of the Gentiles. They were nothing. Amen. Nothing. Absolutely. Not, no, worse than slaves. Because the Jews call us dogs. But here we are today. Because the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejected their visitation. The gospel came to us. Now, we are occupying a higher position. We have taken over their position now. That is a wonderful story. And being a story of salvation, every part of that story, therefore, pertains to something in the process of salvation for the Gentiles. Every part of the story of Esther. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On Wednesday, we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. A lot of people just look at that story as just some story of, you know, love, display of love. But we proved that Wednesday that that story was also a story of salvation. The Good Samaritan is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And why he is referred to as a Samaritan, we saw it. But there is something there, praise the Lord, in that story that we saw, that when he took the man that was buffeted by thieves, who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, on the way he was buffeted, the Bible says that the man, the Good Samaritan came after the priest and the Levite saw him. They could not help him. They passed away. The Good Samaritan came and picked him to an inn, bound his wound, and we saw each, every one of those has something to do with the process of redemption, step by step in that story. But the aspect I want to go into now is the aspect we also looked at, that when he was about to go, the innkeeper that he committed that bruised and wounded man into his hand in the inn, that he was to pay him, he paid him with how many pence? 2 pence. And we try to say, why was he paying with 2 pence? Why particularly 2 pence? Because in Matthew 20, one day's wage is 1 penny. So if he's giving him 2 pence, it means he was paying him for 2 days. We are talking about salvation. Praise the Lord. And the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, it says 1,000 years before the Lord is how many days? 1 day. It simply means he committed the church into the innkeeper, which is a fivefold ministry, to take care of them for perfection, for edification, for the work of the ministry, to take care of him, and then paid him. He said when he comes back, it means he is going to come back. Since he's going to come back and he gave him 2 pence, it means he's going to spend 2 days before coming back. So it means after the Lord Jesus Christ left, salvation came to the Gentiles. How long is it going to take before Jesus will come back to the Gentiles? It will take 2 days, 2,000 years. And if it's going to take 2,000 years, when is it starting? Praise the Lord. We saw it in Hosea chapter 6 verse 2, where he said he has torn us. Amen. He will bind us up. He said after 2 days he will revive us. When we are there torn to pieces, we saw it in the scripture in AD 70 history, when General Titus came and scattered them according to the prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Luke chapter 21. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Matthew 24, of course. Now, so it means from AD 70, if you calculate from there, you have to count 2,000 years. From AD 70, you will count 2,000 years. And after that, the Lord Jesus Christ should come. Now, you know, there are types in the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will not take the bride by surprise. The bride will know. You may not know the day, the hour, like the Bible says, but you will know the season. You will know the season, the period. You can be sure anytime from now, according to this Bible, Christ will come. Daniel was in captivity, for a captivity that was as a result of prophecy. In Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah had prophesied to them that they will enter into captivity for how many years? 70 years. And Nebuchadnezzar came thereafter and then scattered them and took some, killed some, took some and scattered them from their land. they were in that Babylonian captivity. But Daniel, a type of the bride of Jesus Christ, knew that they were not supposed to be in captivity forever. Then he remembered, we are here as a result of a prophecy because of all the sins we committed. The Bible in Daniel chapter 9, he says, from you read it from verse 1 there, Daniel chapter 9, he says that he, Daniel, understood by books the time that was given to them for that captivity. How? He went studying. He picked it from the time Jeremiah said to be for 70 years. Then he went back and calculated. This is the time Nebuchadnezzar came. This is the time the enemy came and scattered us. Calculate from that time, 70 years. By the time he was calculating, they had spent 68 years. I said, now, with that type of revelation that Daniel had, what type of a Jew will he be in that land of captivity? That is the position that the bride is supposed to be now. There is something Daniel knew that other Jews didn't know. The other Jews, they had already, you know, gotten used to the land. Maybe they had stocks in their stock market. Maybe they had oil fields, they were drilling oil. Maybe they were big merchants, they were landlords there. So they were relaxed. Amen. But not Daniel. That revelation, praise the Lord, that Daniel had will reflect in the lifestyle. When you tell Daniel, there's land here for sale, whether you like to buy, Daniel will look at you, there's no need. We shall soon be going back to our land. His heart now will be more in Jerusalem than in Babylon. Why? Because of revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So that you know where to focus your mind. When we begin to tell you that the time for the rapture is no more. Calculate yourselves from 1870 to now. And please, in your calculation, we've done the calculation before here. In your calculation, you don't use the Roman calendar. You use the prophetic calendar. Prophetic calendar is 30 days in a month. The Roman calendar, some days are 28, some days are 29, some days are 30, some days are 31. So you have to do some juggling of figures and bring out 30 days. And then you can know how many more years are left. Praise the Lord. Now, those 2 days, amen. Those 2 days, oh, praise the Lord. Those 2 days that Hosea saw in that prophecy. The 2 days period is the 2 days that God has given to the Gentiles. But these 2 days is divided into 7 church ages. That period is also, that's the period Christ referred to as the kingdom of heaven. That period is called the kingdom of heaven period. And that period is the period for the fullness of the Gentiles that Apostle Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 11 verse 25. And that is also the period known also whereby the mystery of God referred to in Ephesians chapter 3 and referred to in Revelation chapter 10 will be fulfilled. Because in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, speaking about the seventh angel, he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, he said, the mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? That mystery is in Ephesians chapter 3 and other scriptures. The mystery of how the Gentiles came into the commonwealth of Israel. How the Gentiles now occupy the position we occupy in the salvation plan of God. Gentiles that we are uncircumcised. Gentiles that we are outcasts, dogs. Now they occupy precious position in the kingdom of God. That mystery. And it will span through 7 church ages, Praise the Lord. In each age, it has a messenger, as we saw in the study of the seven church ages, and praise God. And within that period, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, God will be rounding up the activities concerning the Gentile salvation. And brethren, right now, we are in the days of that voice of the seventh angel. Seven is important that pertain to salvation, brethren. That's why, if you look at it, the temple, Solomon's temple was built. How many years did it take it to build? 7 years. He's speaking of the church of Jesus Christ. Because God is in his church through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But the building of the body of Christ, the body of Christ, Christ, amen. The church is the body of Christ. The building of that temple, we are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. The physical temple of Solomon, it took 7 years. And the Bible says it was built with material supply from all over the world, letting you know that the body of Christ will be made up of members from all over the world. 7 days, 7 years. Praise the Lord. Speaking of the seven church ages, the period wherein the body of Christ will be built, the building will be completed through seven church ages. And if you remember, for each age, amen, Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 spoke about the stars, seven stars and seven golden candlesticks that were in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seven stars are the seven messengers. The seven golden candlesticks, they are the seven churches. All is speaking about the Gentile church. And the Gentile church, what it will go through, the seven church ages, is what Matthew also caught in chronological order in Matthew chapter 13. All those seven parables, each parable was speaking about each church age like that. If you follow it, like we have taken that also in this church several times. And if you notice the statue of a perfect man, in 2 Peter chapter 1, the statue of a perfect man, there are seven virtues. Seven. Add to your faith, what? Virtue. Add to virtue. Knowledge, from knowledge, temperance, like that, to the seventh one, which is brotherly kindness, that makes you as a Christian perfect. Seven is God's number for completion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, when we talk about the seven church ages, now, within this period of the seven church ages, within this period of these seven church ages, a lot of other revelations will be coming forth. A lot of other activities will be taking place. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, we have a key there. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you read it from verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is a popular scripture here. As the disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter immediately said, hallelujah, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the scripture I'm going to. Now, there's a statement the Lord Jesus Christ made. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He added, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Remember, the building of the church of Jesus Christ is going to undergo through seven church ages. And he said, upon the rock of that revelation will he build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It means the gate of hell. He didn't say the gate of hell will not come. What are these gates of hell? Brethren, the gate of hell against the church is not witches and wizards. If not, it's not witches and wizards. Hallelujah. No, it's not. Amen. The Bible says, when the enemy raises like a flood, what will happen? He, God, amen, he, God, will do what? He will raise a standard against that flood, against the enemy and his flood. The flood that was raised against the church of Jesus Christ, God had his own standard. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how to say what I want to say, because it's so deep. It's not something that we can just sit down one service. Because everything I'm saying here, there are so many scriptures to back it up, plus history to back these things up. But my prayer is that God will cause me to say it in a way that you will understand. Praise the Lord. At least have a picture. And then at your own time, we have books that you will read. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's something significant about this age that we're living in. This seventh church age. And there's something special about the seventh church age messenger. Because it is the finishing, the rounding up of God's activities on earth as pertaining to the salvation for the Gentiles. And so that seventh church age messenger, the seventh chamberlain that prepares Esther for the king, the seventh star messenger, he has a lot of work to do. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the things that the major thing that William Branham came, because we have taught it here several times, the seventh church age is William Marion Branham, the seventh church age messenger, the star messenger for this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Can I just ask a question? Let me just know. If you have never heard us teach on the seven church ages, can I see your hand up? Just wave your hand. Just wave it. I want to know how many people. Seven church ages. Bless you. Put down your hand. You try to get the tape, but we shall still take them. I think we took them on Sunday school. We've taken seven church ages on Sunday school here several times last year. We can always take it so that some of these statements I'm making, so that you can understand what I'm talking about. I'm believing that you still remember, except those who are new here. Members, you know what I'm talking about. That messenger, the Lord, this church, and other things I'm making reference to. Now, God used to reveal book. Which book? Revelation chapter 5. If you are with me, I will read. And please listen very carefully. Verse 1. Before we read that, I hope you know the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. Amen. Some years back, in 1990, we were somewhere at Ikoyi. Those who know me know that I'm referring to Ikoyi prison. When we were there in Ikoyi prison, the prison fellowship, a preacher from one of the denominations, I think he came from Trem or so, and then somebody asked him a question from the service, from the fellowship, during fellowship, question and answer. Ask him something about the book of Revelation. And the man said, he said, look. I don't advise you to go to that area. Don't go to the book of Revelation. He said, that the book of Revelation, you just want to confuse yourself. He just stays with the basics of salvation, and he always advises people, just forget about the book of Revelation. Amen. And I stood up. I put up my hand. Then I had seen the message. Then I had the revelation of the seals and the book of Revelation generally. I told him, I said, no, sir. I said, do you know what it took God
to get that book of Revelation, he preserved John the Beloved. They tried to kill John the Beloved, they could not kill him. And in the course, it's like they put him inside oil, drum of oil, to cook him alive. They cook and cook and cook him in the days when they were killing believers like that. When they opened the drum, they saw the man there neat. Nothing happened to him. Look, brethren, if God has not finished with you, nobody can get him. Hallelujah. Then they said, this man is not another, he's a witch. Keep him away. They then took him to the Isle of Patmos. This took place in 1896. They banished him there, where only wild animals, you know, with him, hoping that maybe one animal there will find him and kill him, or he will die of starvation. Amen. But if you see verse 1 of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go to chapter 1. Amen. See. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. Things that will come to pass. And somebody is saying, no, don't go into that. What kind of preacher is that? Things that will come to pass, things that pertain to salvation. You are saying, no, just stay in, for God so loved the world, you know, just love God, pay your tithe and your offering. Things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. And if you go to verse 19, see what he's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 9 first. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, because those saints of those first church age, they suffered. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, he said, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. That is in the island that is called Patmos. For what? Can you see something about Revelation? He was not there busy saying, I say, hey, I was in the island and the enemy put me there. And these Romans, wicked Romans, wicked this had to die. That's a, no, he had revelation. Things work together for good. He was in that. He said it was for the word of testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and things which shall be hereafter. Watch these three things. The things which 96. The angel was telling him the things that he has seen. Past tense, before AD 96. These are the things which are at that period of time while he was still alive. We shall be hereafter, future. Saw it. And John, like Daniel, is a type of the bread of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Things that are concerning salvation today of the original sin. Hallelujah. Don't we know that the sin that took in the Garden of Eden was not upon the earth? We know. And things which are now, we know why the church is in the condition that she is today. Don't we know? Don't you know that the church is made up of wheat and tares? Things that shall be in future. The things that shall be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. It is written here, book. But you know, at that time, it's not like our book here. It is a scroll. They normally fold it. Folded, and it is sealed in and out. Closed. And when you seal something, it means You have to be authorized to be able to break the seal to see what is inside. It means the thing that is inside that makes it to be sealed is confidential. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? That book, amen, the book that was seen, hallelujah. Remember, before we go to chapter 5, so that we understand he that sat on the throne. There was one that sat on the throne. Praise God. Chapter 4 first. Let's go and read chapter 4. Let's come to chapter 4 first. Let's see chapter 4. If I don't finish this, we will complete it next week. But let's understand. Let me not rush some things. Chapter 4. After this, verse 1. I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So the things we are actually seeing, they are revelations of things that were to come up. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who sat on the throne? Who sat on the throne? Hallelujah. It's God the Father. Now, I know why you shouted Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have the creator of the heaven and the earth, the Father of all creation, sitting on the throne. God opened the eyes of John to see heaven. And he sat, and I know, echoing that, Raymond Jackson said it is the Lord Jesus sitting in that. No, but I see it different. I'm not a copy typist. I don't say what if I don't understand, I won't say it like that. The reason is, I will show you later on why it cannot be Jesus sitting down there. Praise the Lord. And he sat, and he that sat, amen, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. Who are these 24 elders? We have said it here before. The 24 elders are the 12 tribes that made up the covenant people of God. 12 patriarchs of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 sons of Jacob that made up the nation of Israel. God's covenant people. The Old Testament. In the New Testament, with 12 apostles. The 12 apostles for the New Testament and the 12 patriarchs of Jacob in the Old Testament, making 24 of the Lord. They are the 24 elders before the throne. Which verse am I? Verse 4. Around about the throne, we have 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment of gold. You remember, Apostle Paul was sure of his crown. And proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, we are 4 beasts. That is where our emphasis is going. 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. These beasts had eyes in front and had eyes behind them. So that means anywhere at all they can see. And the first beast was like what? A lion. Are we together? And what? A calf. Beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying. That's why we have flying eagle. We have flying eagle here. That's why. You also know why it is a flying eagle. Hallelujah. 6 wings about him. Rest not day and night, saying, holy is to come. give glory and honor and thanks to him that has, who liveth forever and ever. And 20 elders fall down before and worship him that liveth forever and ever, through saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. All things. The person sitting now on the throne is the God Almighty. And for thy pleasure, they. Now, chapter 5, now, where I was reading. And I saw one of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong exclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Amen. Who is worthy? Let me emphasize that. So it means the book that the one that on the throne was holy had something to do with the redemption. The time that William Branham will call it, that was the book. Secret and mystery of mankind. And unless there is open that book to look at the whole of mankind, it's, and it is sealed with seven seals. Amen. To open it, there is blessed be the name of the Lord. Literally, if you read the story of Ruth, we know her story. Husband had died. Amen. She followed Naomi back to the land of Israel from the land of the Moabites. And she has to have another redemption. S of King entitled to marry her, to buy her, to redeem her. Naomi had school on which she should go. And she was to go. When he woke up in the morning, you saw what he told her to do. And then I told her, I said, no, there is no. Unless that person refuses to come in and take over, says, the Bible refused to even call his name, refused to mention his name. They called him Collect Naomi, Ruth. And according to the custom, I think it's one leg of shoe was a symbol that he had to redeem his brother's wife. He refused. So any other shoe there is, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's with that shoe is the person that can redeem. Hallelujah. God now was entitled. Amen. Married Ruth. I know through Ruth, the Lord Jesus Christ came. Okay. Now, I'm only making reference to that. So, the book is in the right hand of him. Man must be saved. Capable. Amen. Verse 3. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither look thereon. Who on earth, which human being? Is it David, Moses? Who was capable to save man? Apostle John, verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. No man. So he was crying because it means man has no hope. That's why John was crying. John knew there's something there that includes him that will save him too. Verse 5. And while John was crying, one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Amen. Amen. Somebody tell your neighbor, weep not. No, you didn't understand that scripture. Tell your neighbor, weep not. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Hallelujah. That is the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only man on earth that was qualified to loose the seals. He's the only one that had the title deeds. Why? The Bible says, after he died, the Bible says he went to the lower regions. Amen. He went to the souls that were in prison. He went and made an open show of the enemy. Oh, blessed be the enemy. The Bible says he collected the keys. Therefore, hell and the children of God. He moved the souls of God to them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Waiting there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. boasted. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by. Prince is crowned King of Kings, and give a name that is above every other name. Jesus, every name must bow. The only person I speak is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, that's Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the only one qualified. If it had not been, oh, where would I be? That the Lord brought me out of that pit of hell. He brought me out of the miry clay. On the rock, to sing a song in my heart. Today, praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we read on? Which verse are we? And I beheld, after one of the elders told him, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been said, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 angels fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps full of odors, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Hey, it included you and me, brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Millions, millions, millions of people. Oh, glory be to God. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, had I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you go to chapter 6, he began to open the seals. Now, but when he opened the seals, what John saw is what he wrote down here. But what John saw, they are all symbols. The revelation of those seals still not revealed. Amen. Everybody is just reading it, and I saw a white horse, and I saw a black horse, and I saw, and everybody is having their own interpretation. When you turn down the visitation of your day, then what other remedy do you need? God gave us a mighty way. When I watch them on the television, on this TPS station, make comments, even someone to go to God, one of them wrote a book, The Last Outcast. Pick that book, has nothing to do with what is that inspiration, did not even come from God, because there is nothing they are telling with the scripture. Nothing. The Last Outcast. When the loud outcast is the head of the organization, the last outcast is the head of the organization that the writer belongs. The Antichrist, brethren, is not some nonsense animal and all these things they write up and down. The Antichrist is a religious man. He's carrying Bible and is looked at in the whole world as the most religious person, and millions of Christians are following him. How we can prove it in the Bible when we have been doing it? And we will take it again. We will take it. The Antichrist. You should know it. By everything, Revelation 13 says, here is wisdom. He said that number 66 is the number of a man. He said, amen. It's the number, the number of a man. 666, that is his number. And the number is the number of a man. And we have calculated through various areas 666, and we saw which man it was pointing to. And it was not an occultic man anywhere. It's a religious person that talks with a holy voice, that has large followership. And exactly as the Bible says, he said, you know, it's described in Revelation chapter 13. It's described in Revelation chapter 17. It's described again now in this Revelation chapter 6. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the book is there, but it's not yet revealed. What is this white horse? God did not allow any other person to go near it. Why? Because the revelation there is for the end time elements, the end time children of God, the bride of the end time. They are the only ones that will understand. Revelation. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now watch it, brethren. Amen. This is why I said they miss it. In February 1963, William Branham, his ministry was almost rounding up. Remember, he died in 1965. William Branham had set the church in order according to what his ministry is supposed to be. Earlier on in March 1962, or so, earlier on, I've forgotten the exact date now, the angel had told him to move to Tucson, Arizona area, in America. He didn't know. He saw a blast in a revelation that shook everywhere around. He preached it in a message. If you have read it, it's titled, SARS Is This the Time? The title of the message he preached there, it says, SARS, Is This the Time? You get it. You can go to the library here, you get it. Lovers of truth will continue to love truth. Amen. There's something, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. If you have the Holy Ghost, it will bear you witness that what I say is the truth. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last, and victory is ours. Who we are chained down in the past, through jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, whose original love. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And our eyes of revelation, he has opened up at last. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And sometime in February of 1963, he was in the bush there somewhere hunting, and that vision came to pass. There was a blast. Some people were around there with him, and according to him, seven angels came down. They came down there, seven of them, and they told him that he should go back to the church, that it is time for the opening of the seals. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is time for the bride to understand what those seals are all about. Praise the Lord. And when they finished talking to him, they went back. As they were going, They formed a cloud, a cloud up in the sky there. The height of that cloud was about 26 miles up. The width was about 30 miles in width. And scientists, they know that at that level, at that height, there cannot be cloud. And so from the town, they saw it and they snapped picture. The next day, it was in a magazine. A mystery cloud formed over Arizona in the U.S. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the picture you see in our calendar. That cloud there. Hallelujah. That's the picture. It means so much to the bride. Every one of us that preach this gospel, we have this hanging somewhere, because it is there for the witness. Hallelujah. To the whole world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the next day, amen, everybody was talking about this mystery cloud. And they were talking about the mystery cloud. They brought the magazine to him. When he saw it, he said, that is the cloud that those angels formed when they came to see him and give him that message. While he was looking at the picture, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and told him to turn the picture clockwise. Turn it like this. When he turned it, hallelujah, the picture is like this. When you turn it clockwise, even my own is still showing small, you will see nothing but the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The white cloud you see there is the hair, the white hair. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The first supernatural picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been caught by science. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. When an evangelist from the U.S. visited me some time ago, with my wife in my sitting room, he came, he said, now, do I remember what Brother Abraham said concerning happened it clockwise? And what did he see? When he turned it, saw that picture appear there, dead like that, anointing caught her. So, and it's a vindication of a truth that was embodied. Blessed the name of the Lord. Let them by one from this night and said, if I preach it. The second day, here we go, the second seal. This is what it means. Up to the six seals, up to the seventh seal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We link in seven seals in Revelation chapter 8 with the seven thunders in Revelation. With that, we show you that there's no more time. I'm telling you, there's no more time. We will open the seals and go to the seven thunders next week. Sunday, God willing. God bless you.
God's attributes were men.